Here in Chicago, a vast multitude of men, women, and children of all ages have gathered to pay their reverent, simple, and sincere respects at a special service being held in the sanctuary of the Chicago Historic Temple from which we are speaking to you now. Located in the very heart of the famous Loop, Chicago's business district, this place of worship is one of the oldest in Chicago, the church having been located on the present site for 106 years. The service today, which began at 3 o'clock Chicago time, is being conducted under the joint auspices of the First Methodist Church and the Church Federation of Greater Chicago, comprising some 1,200 churches and 22 denominations. Participating in this memorial service in honor of Franklin Delano Roosevelt are Dr. Charles Ray Goff, pastor of the First Methodist Church, and Dr. Harold W. Roop, pastor of the Central Church in Chicago's Loop, and president of the Church Federation of Greater Chicago. Specially selected hymns and religious music will be sung by a quartet and played by the church organist. The service will be Episcopalian, since that was Mr. Roosevelt's denomination. For over a century now, rich and poor alike have come to pray and worship in this sanctuary beneath the spire, which rises 568 feet above the street, making it, I'm told, the tallest church in the world. Unlike most houses of worship, the Chicago Temple is not a building apart, but shares its structure with many business offices, the church itself occupying the lower three floors. Its construction is soundproof, however, so that the noise from the outside business world all about it is completely shut out. The overall architecture of the church is French Gothic, and there's much more to tell about this historic sanctuary, but I'd like to take a minute or so now to tell you something about the service and the people who have come to pay their humble respects. Long before the service began, people began to file silently into the sanctuary, singly, in couples and in larger groups. In a short time, the church was filled to capacity and long lines had formed outside on the street. Almost without exception, there was no conversation. People who came together, members of the same family, close friends, suddenly became strangers to all appearances. Somehow, idle conversation seemed terribly out of place. In the faces of all, one could read the personal grief that each felt and sensed that he just didn't care to talk about it or about anything else at the moment. The congregation, as you might expect, includes just about every type of individual who bears the name American. From my vantage point, I can see two Negro soldiers sitting in silence, their arms folded across their chests. In the pew ahead of them, a young Chinese woman sits with a little girl held close in her arms. A sailor idly fingers his hat perched on his knees. An old man beside him rests his chin on his cane. Men and women who have finished their shift at one of Chicago's war plants and are on their way home have stopped to take part in the service. A policeman sits in rapt attention. Scattered throughout are men and women of means who have perhaps come down from the well-to-do Gold Coast district on the near north side. Army, Navy, Coast Guard, and Marine uniforms are quite evident in every pew. Members of the women's branch of the services are well represented. I talked to a few of the people as they entered the sanctuary earlier through the huge bronze doors. I was seeking some personal reason why they had come in when it would have been so easy to pass by. One man said he couldn't explain it, but he was on his way to meet a friend at the Union Station when he saw the line of people gathering outside the temple. Something seemed to draw him inside to pay his respects to. He hoped his friend's train would arrive late enough for him to meet it after the service, but he wasn't too concerned about it. "This is the kind of thing that upsets everybody's plans," he said simply. When I asked a young member of the Air Force if he could tell me why he had decided to attend this memorial service, he had a ready answer. "I always pray when a friend of mine passes on," he replied. "And I can't think of any other one man who was a friend to more people in this world than Mr. Roosevelt. Can you?" I said I couldn't. For the past few minutes, we've been trying to draw a word picture of the special service being held in honor of Franklin Delano Roosevelt here in the sanctuary of the Chicago Temple, located in the very heart of the Loop Business District. Russ Davis speaking. We take you now to Kansas City. Gene Dennis reporting.
This is Gene Dennis in Kansas City. Bowing throngs from Kansas City and nearby Independence, Missouri, home of President Harry S. Truman, are gathered in Kansas City's beautiful municipal auditorium. This same auditorium was dedicated by our late president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, in a great civic ceremony, October 13, 1936. Now, today, many of the same people who first saw the president here that day 8.5 years ago return to the arena of the auditorium to pay deepest, heartfelt respects to his memory in these solemn ceremonies. In the background, you hear the concert orchestra under the direction of Sigmund Romberg, Victoria Schuhl singing The Rosary. The platform of the arena is set in a scene befitting the acknowledged preference of our late president. A beautiful woodland scene enlivened with huge sprays of flowers and greenery woven into the lifelike background. In the very center of the setting, framed in a garland of American Beauty roses, is a portrait of Mr. Roosevelt. Over it hangs the American flag. Along the front of the platform, and in huge banks to both sides, are beautiful bouquets of flowers, hydrangeas, lilies, and snapdragons, lending themselves to the setting that seems to whisper the reverence of this occasion. This great hall, scene of a myriad of civic events, has been transformed into a giant cathedral. The some 12,000 worshipers who come here today remove their hats as they approach the canopy overhanging the 13th Street entrance. Quietly, respectfully, they have now filed to their seats. And now, from the floor seats and the seats of the circular arena, they gaze down, almost to a man, at the portrait of our late president. What their thoughts are, we of course can't tell. Their grief is mirrored in their faces as we mark the passing of this great humanitarian. Doubtlessly, to many of them, there come thoughts of the tremendous responsibilities that have come to a fellow townsman and neighbor, Harry S. Truman. President Truman's home is in nearby Independence, Missouri. And hundreds of the people in Kansas City and Jackson County who are attending these ceremonies here today are intimately acquainted with our new president. We have known him as a farmer, a Kansas City businessman, a county judge, United States senator, briefly as vice president, and now as chief executive in this most critical era of mankind's history. As we pay our last respects to the memory of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, so do we pray that God will give President Harry S. Truman the strength to carry on the great work that lies ahead of him. His Missouri friends are thinking of him today. The music you hear is Sigmund Romberg conducting the concert orchestra playing Handel's Largo. Because the Roosevelt family worships in the faith of the Episcopal Church, these Kansas City memorial services are being conducted by one of that faith, Bishop Robert Nelson Spencer of the Episcopal Church. He is being assisted by outstanding Kansas City clergymen of all faiths, creeds, and races. Truly, this is a ceremony that we believe our late president would want, for it speaks of the democracy he gave his life to preserve. These Kansas City memorial services have included such music as Schubert's Unfinished Symphony, The Rosary, and Handel's Largo. The congregation will join to sing Nearer My God to Thee, Crossing the Bar, and Faith of Our Fathers. The services were opened by Kansas City's Mayor, John D. Gage, who delivered brief remarks concerning the president's service to our nation. This is Gene Dennis speaking from radio station KMBC in Kansas City's Municipal Auditorium, scene of the Heart of America's memorial service to the late President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. We take you now to Dallas, Dick Bush reporting.
While Dallas in the Southwest pauses this afternoon in reverent respect to the memory of a great man, CBS microphones have been set up in St. Matthew's Cathedral Episcopal in Dallas in order to bring you a part of the memorial service for the late President Roosevelt, which is now in progress. This is one of many services now being held throughout the nation as American people draw near to their churches, as they have done so often in these years of war. And now they have come to their places of worship to pay memory to a great man. The service is already in progress here in St. Matthew's. The people have filed in with deep reverence and with great respect for the occasion. Now seated in the sanctuary, the choir is preparing to sing the anthem, Souls of the Righteous by Sir Edgar Elgar. We take you now to the chancel of St. Matthew's Cathedral so that you might hear a portion of this anthem as it is sung by the choir. The choir is under the direction of Henry W. Sanderson, choirmaster and organist of St. Matthew's. And now to the chancel of St. Matthew's Cathedral for the choir singing a portion of the anthem, Souls of the Righteous by Sir Edgar Elgar. Here in St. Matthew's Cathedral in Dallas, we will describe briefly for you the service that has taken place this afternoon. The service here in St. Matthew's in Dallas opened as the cathedral choir moved up the aisle to the chancel, with Dean Gerald G. Moore reading the opening sentences. Upon reaching the chancel, the magnificent strains of the hymn, O God, Our Help in Ages Past, were sung by the choir, followed by the singing of the burial psalms, which expressed such thoughts as, God is our hope and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be moved and though the hills be carried into the midst of the sea. Be still then, and know that I am God. The scripture lesson read by Father Richard A. Hayes, assistant at St. Matthew's. The triumphant words of Paul's letter to the Romans echoed through the sanctuary. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Just before the beginning of our broadcast, the choir sang the late president's favorite hymn, How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say then to you than he hath said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. Fear not, I am with thee. O, be not dismayed. I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. And now we have the choir singing in the chancel of St. Matthew's, the triumphant anthem, Souls of the Righteous by Sir Edgar Elgar, under the direction of Henry W. Sanderson, choirmaster and organist. After our broadcast, Bishop Harry T. Moore of the Dallas Diocese of the Episcopal Church will make the remarks in this occasion, as churches all over the nation are so doing, as they have paused to pay respect to the president while services are going on in the White House. And now we take you to the chancel where Bishop Moore, or rather Dean Moore, will give the closing prayers.
Remember thy servant Franklin Delano, O Lord, according to the favor which thou bearest unto thy people, and grant that increasing in knowledge and love of thee, he may go from strength to strength in the life of perfect service in thy heavenly kingdom, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
You have been listening to services being broadcast from St. Matthew's Cathedral here in Dallas, conducted by Dean Gerald B. Moore of this church.